don't fear me, because I know what I want. Please deliver me, that's all part of your soul. It makes you freeze time, staring in at yourself. It's time to step outside onto the path you once made.
Welcome to another episode of Brain Leakage, where I ramble on while watching Doctor Who from the very beginning. This episode's episode 3 of Doctor Who, the original first series, and starting with An Earthly Child. Sorry, if I have problems understanding a little bit, it's because I recently had all my teeth pulled. So this is also to test out a new mic that I think is going to help with the understanding until I get my teeth and get used to the way it is now. But never mind all that. Let's jump right into this third episode of Doctor Who. I'm looking forward to doing these a lot. I have fun on it, even though I've only did a couple of them a long, long time ago, back in the old Diaryland days for the old folks out there. Remember Diaryland? I once went through all the Doctor Who's and wrote, journal entries on all of them, so, and I remember that was a lot of fun, so this should be too. And, one of the things that going back and rewatching this, I think is really interesting for kids' program, is how, with all the skulls and stuff that they allowed in this episode, their skulls with heads like split right wide open, and then I love this opening scene in this third episode where it has all the cavemen huddled together, because I've actually never seen that portrayed in anything caveman stories, but with the theme of fire that this story has, it's a nice little hint, they had to huddle together to keep warm. And like I said in previous episodes, caveman stories aren't my favorite, but I like a lot of the parts of this one. And you're getting into the relationship between Ian and the Doctor, and you're getting to know characters. The Doctor's very unlikable in the beginning, but it's not like his character is totally different as his first Doctor as it goes on. But, when people say the Doctor's unlikable in later stories, it always kind of makes me laugh. I'm like, he was kind of unlikable from the beginning in a ways. But, William Hartnell, I really want to, even though I've seen just about every episode of Doctor Who that still exists, I've never, it's weird, I've watched them, but I don't think I've ever watched them and studied them any. In a way, and I really want to get to looking into William Hartnell and Patrick Troughton later, because I've grown to appreciate them more and more, I think, as time has went on, and their performances, especially Patrick Troughton, who's jumped up further as one of my favorite Doctors. And Eden, took charge, right away. I like how, him and Barbara, even though, this is a weird situation, they're just not totally freaking out. Talking about looking back on the Doctor as a character that the first Doctor and the second Doctor is something I want to look at. as I've went back and looked at it, times like the Ian and Barbara characters, like, they are two of the best companions I think ever, and like, starting out, they were like really good companions. Like I said before, I think in the previous episode of Brain Leakage, I didn't like them much when I was a kid, because, and the few times I seen them, because I was like, oh, who wants to travel with a teacher? So it wasn't that fun for me. But yeah, we'll see how it goes on. As the episodes go on. After this, of course, is the Daleks. Probably my least favorite Dalek story ever. Yes, I even love the chase a lot more in this one. And a lot of others. And then the Edge of Destruction. Really early on showing that the creative juices of Doctor Who. Doing something that probably other people weren't doing at the time. And it's always been that way. From the beginning, if you study Doctor Who from the beginning, they were trying different things. And like, I'm probably going to start doing a lot more of these and getting them out there as something to show to people and stuff. And it's an excuse to watch Doctor Who. I can say, well, it's for the podcast, you know. And it gives me an excuse if I get to a point where I don't own, like, a DVD. Even though, the DVDs are now getting high up in cost. Probably because they're going to start coming out with them on Blu-ray soon. So, I don't think they're making a lot of them anymore. So, now this old lady's breaking in to free them when they're captive. Because she's afraid of fire. And she's going to let them go if they promise not to make fire. I think the one of the main things that I don't like about caveman stories is the way they talk. I think I'd actually rather them just speak normal than trying to put on these what they think cavemen may talk like or something. Or do a silent one. I don't know if anybody's ever did totally a silent caveman story. It'd be interesting. Is that one where Rocco Welch or, like, and Ringo Starr silent? I don't know. A lot of grunting and scantily clad people in it, but whatever. That would be interesting, I think, to do. Because, like, the whole language thing, it's like, well, they probably didn't talk around this time anyway, so acting like you know how they would talk, I'd rather just not do it. It's like sometimes with accents, I'd rather people just not do them at all than do bad ones. I think I've gotten to that point with my own writing where I'm like, no, I'm just not going to even try to do some kind of accent most of the time. Because it just seems stilted unless you're really, really, really skilled at doing it. And as of course, like, if you want to check out anything that I've written, check out 10universe.blogspot.com for all 10 universe materials. You can find updates on our monthly book, 10 Universe Monthly, which is on hiatus until next year. It's our adult line of stories. Our yearly middle grade book, 10 Universe Middle Grade Book, is going to have another book coming out this year, but right here on the podcasting network of shows is 10 Pod, the main podcast, and we're starting doing a monthly serialized audio version of the first 10 Universe Middle Grade book. But away from that, we got conflict here between the tribesmen in this episode. I think, like, these stories tend to be the same way. Like, it's usually, like, a tribal fight between one person looking, wanting to look strong and be the leader while somebody else wants the same thing. I'm trying not to, like, just talk about other stuff instead of this episode, but it's hard because, like, these caveman-type stories, it's basically a lot of, like, hitting you over the head, killing this person, killing that person. Which is basically any story, but yeah. Well, the Doctor and them are free now, and they're running. If you watch back at the early Doctor Who's, there's a lot of running, trying to get to the TARDIS and leave. Which in later stories, they really don't do, because they're always like, we gotta settle this issue or whatever, we're not just running to leave. Which the smartest thing would be to just leave a lot of times. And even though I've read a lot, and I've seen the special in William Hartnell's time as a Doctor, I don't know if it was his portrayal or him physically, like the actual actor, but the Doctor looked old and worn out from the beginning, from his very first story, in a way. Getting tired easy and such. Now there's Ian and Barbara comforting each other and giving each other strength. This historical story, in a way, like, I know this is supposed to be one of the historical Doctor Who's, like, based in history, but I'm curious, like, at this time, did they believe, like, cavemen were talking and such? Because I just wonder, like, isn't that science fiction in a way itself, too? If you're taking that jump to say, okay, cavemen at this time talked and this happened. I'd almost rather just do, like, a other world where they discover fire or something like that. To go there, because you basically have to speculate so much, it's almost science fiction. And you see two loving relationships here when they're running away. You got Ian and Barbara, and you got Susan and the Doctor. Kind of separated by a few feet, but you can see each one, like, how much they care for each other. I like how Ian and the Doctor, they bicker, but they come to conclusions. And I think it has a lot to do with the fact that Ian never took shit from the Doctor, really. So, like, the Doctor, even though they would argue, Ian wasn't just yelling, he was making his point. And I think it's not only good writing and the characters with them, but it also shows that if you make your point with two people, even though you disagree, make your point, one person has a better point, and you move on from that. Hey, that might work to help us survive as a species, if we can learn to do it as a whole. And now they're being tracked in this episode. I think this story would, like I've said before, I think the very first episode of An Earthly Child, before they go back into the past, is one of my favorite Doctor Who's ever. I think this episode would have been a lot better if it was only, like, two episodes. I mean, this part of this. I think there's too much, you get too much of the caveman basics. That was Barbara yelling, if you got that in the background. See how good my mic, headphone mic picks up. And she just tripped over, looks like a boar. One of the things I like to do with this podcast is not only just talk about Doctor Who, I wouldn't mind having guests in the future. So, I have some people in mind, maybe I'll talk to them and see if they'll come on, like, watch an episode and then come on and talk about it. Probably won't, unless I find somebody local, it probably won't be a watch live talk about like I'm doing. But, yeah, I'd very much like to have, like, podcast guests in the future for this. And also for my other podcast, I Wish I Was Brave, where I'm going through all the classic Valiant comics and talking about them after I read them issue by issue. I'd like to have guests on that podcast too. Talking with Mara, of course, is Mara's podcast, and we both talk about stuff. And I hope to record another one of those this week. And then, of course, Tim Pod, the main podcast of this channel, I want to talk, have a lot more guests. And then this weekend, I'm going to have one of my favorites, actually two of my favorite podcasters, I'm going to do, have them on my podcast, which I'm really nervous about, especially because my computer's been acting up lately. But, yeah. I don't mind doing the ones that are by myself, and the more confident I get to talking, it should be more interesting to do. But it's great when you have, like, you're actually discussing stuff. Okay, so back to the show, like, the guy who's tracking them and stuff was attacked. And now Ian's trying to help out. And I think this is the first time when somebody tells the doctor, basically, like, you're a doctor, help. And he's basically like, not that kind of doctor. So I think there's a line in a Pertree episode where he said, the third doctor, where he says, somebody says, what kind of doctor are you? And he's like, just about every kind or something like that. But he says it in such a, I don't know, whimsical is the word. He says it in such a fun-loving way. It's not even arrogant when he says it. I mean, he usually says stuff like that with like a slight smile. A smile that his son has, who, by the way, Alfred owned Gotham, third doctor's son. He has that same kind of, like, little wry smile about things. But I'm a long way off before I get to that doctor. I know that I was talking to somebody recently about this podcast, and they were like, well, you should probably just record every story, not every episode. But then, like, one, the podcast would be long, a lot longer. And I might do that if I have a guest on. Might just, like, have them watch the whole story. And then, like, talk about it. But for now, I like doing episode by episode. I've never watched Doctor Who this way. Like, even when I was little, when it was on PBS, we had, like, a really, really early VHS recorder. And I actually used to record it, and then I'd watch it after I get, like, 5 or 6 episodes on tape. So I never watched Doctor Who episode by episode much. So this would be an interesting experience for me. And I'm going to try at least do one a week. But. And try not to have long silences in between them. Like I said, I'm getting back into mouth muscles being working. Where I can talk. It's still hard. Like, I don't have my teeth, but. So I'm getting used to how I'm talking now. But. All these episodes are like, all these shows are like cavemen or something. They have to have like an old crone type character. Or in fantasy stories, they're usually a witch, an old crone witch lady character. But I remember like this episode when I was younger. I remember reading about it in a couple of fanzines way before the internet, of how violent it was, actually was. And if you look back on it, there's a lot of implied violence, but like, it is pretty gruesome. I mean, how the people die in it, and some of the brutality of it. And the implied brutality of it. For that time, I wonder how it came across. Like, I know Doctor Who was a pretty good hit from the beginning. I just wonder how, like, that nature of it, like I talked about with the skeletons and the skulls early on. And you got a lot of blood being shown. Like, you don't even see blood, like, in today's shows that much. Like, like youth shows, like kids shows. Like, you really can't show blood, even on like action shows and stuff. Like, you can have somebody get shot on some kids' animated shows or get stabbed, but they can't show the blood. Which is really ridiculous. I love Susan's like, he's always like this if he doesn't get his own way. And the doctor's just, you know, doing his first doctor thing of holding his lapels. Now the doctor picked up a rock. And Ian stopped him. Did Ian stop the doctor from bashing in this guy's head? Or what? You couldn't have blamed the doctor. So it makes me think of, like, as a fanboy looking, like, you know, for continuity and fan wank and head canyon type stuff. Like, it makes you think, like, what was the state of the doctor's mind? Was this after they escaped Gallifrey? What was going on in Gallifrey that they were running from? Was it just Time Lords? Was it Daleks? Was it the actual Time War? Is it a loop-de-loop timey-wimey thing? And a Time War was actually where they originally left from during that time. Which is my theory. And I like that theory better. Because it's been hinted at in so much stuff. They left at a time of crisis. And it's been said sometimes in comics and books and different stuff that it was during a war with the Daleks. So it was then. And they found the old lady dead. Somebody killed her. I wonder who. Of course, it was the strangers. Now you gotta go kill the strangers. See, the way the dialogue here with this guy makes he delivers a line, my eyes tell me what happened. That's a good line. And the way he delivers it works than a stupid whatever stupid caveman speak. Just slow down the wording and stuff, and I think that would work just as good. This episode should have been titled "It Was As My Eyes Said It Was." That would have been a better one, I think. I think this is called, like, one of these episodes, I think it's called "The Tribe of Gum." And it gets back to the thing, I don't know if I mentioned this, or if anybody knows, like, well, people know, but, like, anybody listening knows, that a lot of the early Doctor Who, every episode was actually titled separately instead of the series, part 1, part 2, part 3. And now, just before they get to the TARDIS, the cavemen catch up with them, so. Now it's, and we'll find out what happens next time. Bye!